Getting close to nature is what that was, John. Getting close to being in it, being part of it.
Yeah, it's you're a narcissist who likes to post naked pictures of yourself, but you tell you whatever works, you know.
Getting close to nature, John. You should get close to nature.
Sure, why not?
So, have you downloaded the Cover 5 app?
No, I'll do it right now.
Yeah, do it.
It's, all right, so it's, tell me what to do. Bergman, you have to tell me what to do after I download the Cover
5
app.
Because you said, hey, what do I need to do? I said download the app.
So go to the App Store, search Cover 5, and then register, and you'll be able to play. And if you enter the code MI22, you'll be in the weekly contest with me, Ireland.
Cover 5,
Bergman,
the number 5, or spell it?
Cover 5, the number 5, yes. Okay. And it should pop right up.
And also, so if you win each week, if you win, you win $100.
Oh, wow, you win $100?
Cash.
I'll take it.
If I win, do I get $100?
No.
No, just listeners.
You can give extra if you'd like. But also, at the end of the whole thing, us as a show get to give something away to the winner of the whole thing of Emma of the Mason Island
what
show.
Do we give them?
What do you want to do? An experience. So it could be something like, you can run Bobcat for a day.
How about they can be Mason's personal photographer the next time he poses nude under a waterfall?
I think people are going to pass.
Yeah, people. Yeah. That's a hard pass for a lot of people.
So they you can go get your drinks from the bathroom.
So if you win the whole thing, you get to do Bobcat.
If that's what you want to do?
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah,
you get to do Bobcat.
Sure. Okay.
Bobcat.
Sure, I don't care.
Sure.
Yeah, no, I'm trying to sign up for free is what I want, right?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
I got to go through
it. It's the Cover 5 app. Okay. Go get it today and join using code MI22. Okay? And we'll be doing that. By the way, Thursday is National Eat in Bed Day. I just want to confirm that with everybody.
It is not. You made it up.
And if you tweet a picture of you eating in bed.
Nobody needs this, man.
Yeah. If you tweet a picture of you eating in bed, you will win a prize.
What
the
is
the best
that prize?
One? It'll be a Mason and Ireland chain. Like we've got.
Wow.
A Mason and Ireland chain.
Those chains are great.
For the best picture of you eating in bed Thursday on National Eat in Bed Day.
Very that could exciting. Get really gross.
That's, no! That's
a good thing, Amanda.
Amanda, you deserve a dinner in bed.
No, I'm
There's
good.
Nothing quite
yeah,
like
it. I was going to say, you
don't need a dinner in bed.
You, hey. Know what's, amazing? I go on vacation. And they've got room service at this place. And I ended up getting room service. We got room service every night and ate in bed. And it was luxurious.
Except for when you had to sleep on top of the noodles.
The crumbs.
Yeah. No. I'm telling you, you guys
crumbs
are missing
between
out.
Your toes.
Missing out. Hey, Boss Amanda, is our big tournament next week?
What tournament?
The golf tournament?
Oh, yeah,
That's in 2 weeks.
No,
right?
No, it's a week from Friday.
Yeah, it's
Friday
next Friday.
The 9th. Yeah.
It's the day after the Ram opener.
Day after the Rams opener, yeah.
Yes.
And it's at Black Gold?
Yep, you guys will be out there.
Boy, it's going to be a big week, isn't it?
Yeah, Bergman, are you starting to work the golf course so we can play early before the show?
Oh, yeah. Well,
He's been trying. He's definitely been trying.
Right. Have you been working, Bergman?
Always.
Really?
Constantly. Yeah. No,
do you have any game?
This was an actual, I went to Top Golf. Last week,
he
played pretty
top
well.
Golf
because
really
top golf, when you
your,
got three gin and tonics in you, swing.
That's hardcore
up.
Golf right pretty there. That's like PGA golf.
Well, although, you see this thing with Rory and Tiger? It's going to be virtual golf.
It's going to be basically
Top Golf. They're trying to come up with ways to compete with LIV. So they're trying. One of the events, though, is going to be virtual. It's going to be like those guys going to Top Golf.
Oh, wow.
So it'll be weird.
Yeah, that is weird. That is weird. I'll take a couple of swings at the golf course.
I like it.
Yeah.
Will these be your first swings since I took you down in our mano-a-mano battle?
They will be my first swings.
I thought you were respectfully mediocre
day. I was. Did you see Jalen Rose trying to swing?
No, but I heard he was bad.
How many swings was that? Like 30-something?
He swung and missed.
Oh, God.
At least
over and over again.
10 times.
Well, you know this, Mace. If you don't practice, if you just try and go out there cold turkey, it's going to be a disaster.
Yeah, yeah.
I played golf with Sam Pines yesterday.
Oh, the great Sam Pines.
Who runs our station now.
Yeah, that's nice.
It was really fun.
That's nice. All right, so I want to get this in here, John. And I'm curious about this. First of all, if you're a Dodger fan, Tony Gonsolin, injured list. He's supposed to miss only 2 starts, is the report. And Clayton Kershaw is expected to come back and pitch either Thursday against the Mets or Friday against the Padres. I originally thought it was going to be panic day because Gonsolin went on the IL, but it's not serious, and we're going to be at full strength by the time we get to the postseason. So, John, I want to talk about corporal punishment.
Are you going to do Tom Brady first?
Oh, yeah, let's do Tom Brady first. Then I'm going to talk about spanking, okay?
Okay, good.
Tom Brady first.
Because I think there's something to
I had
this.
An uh-oh. I had an uh-oh.
Okay. I think something's up with Brady.
Okay.
And you're about to play the reason why.
It's all personal. You know, everyone's got different situations they're dealing with, so we all have really unique challenges to our life, and, you know, I'm 45 years old, man. There's a lot of shit going on, so, you know, you just got to try to figure out life the best you can, and, you know, it's a continuous process, so.
And ever since he did that, that was post-game on Saturday night.
Yep.
Where we've just never seen this side of him, where he said, it's personal, and I'm 45, and I got a lot of blank going on.
Yep.
And there's been a lot of speculation about why he took 11 days off. That was a response to why did you take 11 days off in the middle of training camp?
Yes.
And he said it's personal and I've got a lot of stuff going on. He doesn't, and I don't want to speculate exactly what it is. There's a lot of rumors out there as to what it could be.
Although it's apparently not the Masked Singer.
No.
Did you debunk that while I was gone?
Yeah, we talked about that while you were gone.
Okay.
He doesn't sound like a guy. He doesn't sound like Tom Brady. I mean, he doesn't sound like a guy who's focused on football.
Let's listen to it one more time, and let's see if we can interpret and read the tea leaves and all that.
It's all personal. You know, everyone's got different situations they're dealing with, so we all have really unique challenges to our life. And, you know, I'm 45 years old, man. There's a lot of shit going on. So, you know, you just got to try to figure out life the best you can. And, you know, it's a continuous process, so.
So it does sound like there's something going on, doesn't it?
So he led the league, he led the NFL in touchdown passes and yards last year. I would bet against him doing that again.
Yeah, I would too. I would too. I mean, I think that he'll still be very effective. And by the way, I think one of the reasons why he took time off was I'm Tom Brady. I'm 45 years old. I don't like playing in the humidity at training camp.
Right.
Stuff like that. I think Tom Brady can pull some strings and get out of his training camp responsibilities. But I do wonder, he says, got a lot of blank going on. It makes it sound like there really is a reason that he took time away.
Yeah. And he says it's personal, which makes you think it has something to do with his family.
Yeah.
But I hope everything's okay.
Yeah, sure.
It just doesn't sound like he's in a good place. And so if I was a Tampa fan, I'd be worried. They've lost two starting offensive linemen. That's got to at least make some type of a difference.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
By the way, Sunday, November 6th, Rams at Tampa Bay.
In Tampa. Rematch of last year's playoff game.
The Rams schedule is so hard.
Well, they won the Super Bowl. You always get a hard schedule after you win the Super Bowl.
Buffalo at home. They're underdogs, point and a half underdogs at last check. Atlanta, which should be a gimme game. Atlanta's not very good. At Arizona, who knows? At San Francisco, who knows? Home to the Cowboys.
Could go either way on a
lot
of those
that's
games.
Really, that's a really tough open to the schedule. Your one break in there is Atlanta in week two, and then road games back-to-back at Arizona and at San Francisco.
Hey, speaking of Buffalo, who's coming in here, and of course they have Super Bowl aspirations.
Yeah.
You see, they drafted Matt Araiza, the punt god from San Diego State.
Yes.
They drafted him in the sixth round. He had a 90-yard punt in the preseason.
Yep.
So they cut the guy who punted for him last year, and that guy immediately
landed somewhere else.
Went to the Colts.
Yeah.
Who's their punter tore an ACL, so the Colts needed a punter. Then this civil lawsuit gets filed by a woman in San Diego that claims that Araiza was one of three players that she accuses of rape, and she filed a civil lawsuit. There have been, I want to be clear about this, there have been no criminal charges filed yet. They're still reviewing the case. No criminal charges filed. But here's what's interesting. Buffalo knew about this when they drafted him.
Did they know about it?
Yeah, they admitted it over the weekend. They said, you know, we took him at his word. He told us what happened. The more details that have come out, we now think he needs to leave the team to deal with this.
Right.
Which is okay. You get new information, things can change.
Sure.
But they knew about it. They quote unquote investigated it. One of their team lawyers talked to the lawyer who eventually ended up filing the civil suit. And I just wonder, do you think the reason they did it is because they didn't want the publicity that they cut him?
My personal thought, first of all, I don't know anything about the story at all, but I have to believe that Buffalo, that the Bills have investigated this and decided this is going to get ugly. We can't continue with this kid.
But they investigated it before the draft. You know, I remember.
But there totally could have been new information.
Yeah, I guess that's it. That's it. You know, remember, I was beating the drum. Rams, take him. Raiders, take him. If he's still on the board in the fifth, sixth, seventh round, take him. This guy can flip the field. He can change your season. I wonder if those other teams knew about this. And that's why he lasted to the sixth round. Possibly.
Yeah, possibly. I mean, he kicks the ball a mile.
Now, Buffalo, did you see who punted for him last weekend?
No.
Matt Barkley.
No!
Yeah.
Really?
Four times.
Was he any good?
Yeah.
Wow!
Totally serviceable.
That's crazy.
The backup quarterback punted.
You think he's going to be the punter?
No, I do not. Okay. I think he got him through one preseason game. Remember, there was a preseason...
When you're not breaking through, man, learn a new skill. Look at Matt Barkley.
There was a preseason game last year, or was it a regular season game when the Rams didn't have a punter, where Johnny Hecker got hurt, or was it not a field? They didn't have a punter or a place kicker.
Johnny had to kick
field goals. Yeah.
Right.
And they got away with it.
They got away with it, yeah. No, I like the Rams kicker now. Matt Gay is really good.
Yeah, he's been great.
He's been fantastic. All right, so coming up next, John, were you ever spanked?
Yeah.
Okay, let's talk about that because there's a school that is bringing it back now. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Then I'm going to talk about spanking. That's right. Spanking.
Why not?
So a school district, John, in southwest Missouri is bringing back a measure last resorted to two decades ago to address disciplinary problems spanking students.
Okay.
Now, I was spanked in school.
Once. I wasn't spanked in school. I was spanked at home by my parents.
I was definitely spanked at home. I mean, yeah. And honestly... I probably needed it. How do you feel about spanking in school?
It's a good question. I think it's going to create more problems than solutions.
Okay, because?
Because one day somebody's going to go too far.
Yep.
They're going to whack the wrong kid.
Yep.
It's a bad look if the teacher is one race and the kid is another one, because then it could be misconstrued as a hate crime. I think it's a bad idea.
I think parents should be responsible. I mean, speaking as a non-parent, if I was a parent, I would want to handle the discipline myself as opposed to let Mrs. Johnson in homeroom do it.
And by the way, if the kid's being a problem in school, throw the kid out.
Throw the kid out, exactly.
Yeah, you don't need to spank him.
So do you think spanking is, I've heard people say, no, spanking is over, you don't spank anymore. Did you ever spank your son?
Nope. Never did. And I got spanked as a kid. I just felt...
Who did the spanking?
Dad.
Dad?
Yeah.
What do you use?
Ruler was the only outside...
like a yardstick. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that.
It was not pleasant.
I got a wooden spoon.
Same concept.
My mom busted a wooden spoon on me one time.
So Sedano...
Hitting us so hard.
Sedano tells a great story that one time he said he was being cocky and his mom asked him to go do a... Like, hey, will you go take out the trash or something? And
right.
George said, I'll get to it when I get to it.
This is him as a little kid?
Yeah, and he said he was feeling all cocky, and he said he walked out of his room and just swack, gets hit in the face with a broom.
Oh, wow.
And his mom goes, what'd you say? He goes, I'll get to it right now. His mom just unloaded with a broom.
I just got a text from our friend Alan Oda. He says, my day job is studying child psychology. Spanking, no, no, no.
Yeah, I never did it. Don't think you need it.
Do you think it still goes on?
Oh, sure.
Sure, it still goes on.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Is it bad for a kid or is it good for a kid?
Well, I would
You
never...
turned out okay.
Yeah.
I turned out okay.
Well, debatable. But the...
What are you laughing about, Jorge? Yes, I turned out...
We're having a conversation back here about spanking. That's why.
Oh.
Now, are you going to spank Maite?
If she, I did it a few times, and I haven't done it since.
Okay.
You just can't bring yourself to do it?
I can't. Yeah.
Did you ever spank Riley?
One time, and I said, that's enough. I'm never doing this again.
So you did it once, and that was it?
That was it. I was like, I don't like this.
I felt
she was
bad.
Crying. It was awful.
I felt bad disciplining my dog. I couldn't do anything mean to the dog, let alone a kid. You know, it's not for me. I think you got to find other ways to do it.
Yeah, I totally agree. Jorge, were you spanked?
Oh, yeah. Big time a lot.
Big time a lot? You must have been trouble.
You're a pain in the ass, huh?
Junior high school, which is no good.
Yeah. Wow. What was the, what object was used?
What we call the chancla, which is like a sandal.
It was a sandal.
A sandal or a belt. That's what it was.
Oh, yeah.
What about a switch? My cousin got hit with a switch. Was like a like the, it's almost like
a whip. Like a stick.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's terrible. All right. So let me change on you. John, Jorge sent me this. Right? Jorge, you sent me this story about eating in bed?
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm going to read this, John, and tell me if I'm crazy.
All right.
Why crazy. Eating in bed is a hot new trend.
Okay.
How to do it on a budget. What? Dinner in bed? Didn't you even get up today? Actually, it's not about laziness. In fact, eating in bed is one of the newest trends to emerge. Here's why eating in bed has become so popular and how you can do it the thrifty way. What? Dinner in bed? Didn't even get up today? If you haven't posted a photo, blah, blah, blah. See, it's a trend. It's a trend, John. Everybody's doing it.
It's ridiculous. It's all about laziness.
Are you arguing with CassieFerry.com?
Listen, Cassie Ferry, get your lazy ass out of the bed and sit down at a table. All right?
How did you find CassieFerry.com?
As soon as you said, we all have to do it, I Googled it, and that's the first thing that came up. I thought it was funny.
So somebody's doing it. Exactly. Somebody's out there doing it.
Cassie.
Yeah, Cassie. Now, are you gonna do it, John?
Eat in bed?
Yeah.
Hell no.
No, one night, Thursday night, eat in bed.
I don't want the crumbs in my
Come
bed.
Come on, eat in bed, one night, no one way. Night. Do it, do it, do it, do it.
No, I've done it in hotels.
Do it.
We'll do it live!
Jorge, what about you? You're going to do it for one night? Eat in bed. Dinner in bed. Dinner in bed. Dinner in bed. Do it. Do it. Do it. Do it. No?
No.
Yeah.
We'll do it live!
Bergman? Yeah.
No, it's my birthday. I'm not eating in bed on
my
birthday.
Come on. Oh, right. It's also National Corporate Greg Day.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so in honor of his birthday, he will not eat in bed.
Exactly.
That's good.
When we get here on Friday, whoever has tweeted the best dinner in bed picture will win a Mason and Ireland chain from Jonathan of Beverly Hills, which is not Jason, Jonathan, who's more of a low-end jeweler.
Thank you, Johnny.
Exactly. All right, John, I want to ask you about Aaron Donald who swung that helmet.
Yeah, no, we did almost like a whole hour on this day. Yeah, and so it is a very hot topic.
Okay.
So Aaron Donald, and there's video of this.
Yep, I've seen it.
Had two Cincinnati Bengals helmets at a practice.
Yes.
At a joint practice last Thursday, and he was swinging them as weapons trying to get people off him. Now, when Myles Garrett did this on a Thursday night football game.
In a real game.
Against Mason Rudolph.
Yep.
And Rudolph didn't have his helmet, obviously, because Myles Garrett had it and was using it to try and beat him.
Yep.
They suspended him 6 games. It appears Aaron Donald will not be suspended at all. And Mike Florio from NBC and Pro Football Talk says,
"Boo, Mike Florio.
Not only should the Rams suspend Aaron Donald, which I don't think they'll do, that if the Rams don't, the league should." And Bergman, you agree with Florio, right?
Yes, I do, very much so.
Oh, sure you do.
What? What does that mean?
Because you're not a Rams fan.
Well, the only reason that you don't want him suspended is because you are a Rams
correct.
Fan.
Correct.
No, you just said it correct. You said correct.
There's no rule that says anything that has to do with practice. Nothing that has to do with practice gets penalized by the NFL.
I'm not talking about the NFL.
Practice.
This has nothing to do with the NFL. Well, this is within the Rams.
Correct. And I'm sure they've...
So if I came to work and picked up a helmet...
You'd be fired. This is football.
And tried to hit Greg on top of the head with it, what do you think Amanda would do?
Well, first of all, was Greg wearing a helmet?
No.
Okay. Well, the guy in the Bengals was
you
wearing
don't
a
know that, you don't
though.
Know.
Obviously, if he has two Bengals helmets, there's two guys walking around without helmets.
Yeah. I think Aaron Donald's punishment should be whatever the Rams decide internally.
Well,
and
already,
I don't know if they've already.
Yeah. They've already released a statement that said they're dealing with an in-house and no one's getting suspended.
That's the way it should be, right?
Here's where I told Greg on Friday. There's nothing in his argument.
Oh, I got a helmet.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
It's a USC helmet.
Yeah.
So yeah, if you hit me on top of the head with that, you won't get suspended. You'll get canned.
Yeah, canned.
Especially with
nice.
That's a nice helmet. What are we doing that? That's back from the days when we had the USC games. There's nothing in Bergman's argument that I can dispute. I don't think Aaron Donald was in his right mind when he did it. I think he lost it for a minute. I think that behavior is unacceptable. But agreeing to all that, it's a very slippery slope if you start suspending football players for what happens at practice.
Yes.
Mace, I heard Pat McAfee talking about this yesterday. Every practice, especially football practice, I've ever been to, I've seen a fight.
So, in other words, this was a joint practice, which makes it a little bit different. So there were more cameras there, and it was somebody from the Bengals
who said,
wait a minute,
I'm talking about like a practice that would be just the Rams.
Correct.
There are fights. Practice football, the goal of a defensive football player, and Aaron Donald's the best defensive football player alive.
Yep.
Is to destroy the other team.
Yep.
So they know that. They're going to fight dirty. I don't know what happened before this that caused him to lose it. He shouldn't have swung helmets. He shouldn't have. But, because I think that if you open Pandora's box and issue a suspension to Aaron Donald for something that happened at practice, I think you've opened up a can of worms you'll never be able to close.
But from the team itself, not from the NFL, but the team, it would open up the can of worms still?
Yeah, Greg, there are fights at every practice I've ever attended.
Fights, but you're not using
it. Right, but wait a minute. Let's say you and I are both playing for the Chargers.
Right.
We both have our helmets on. I grab you by the throat and try and choke you out because I think you did something dirty.
Okay.
And then we get broken up. Like some two guys jump on me too. That I assaulted you.
Yes.
I just tried to choke you to death. Should I be suspended?
It's up to the team and probably.
Well,
but I'm saying that happens in some way, shape, or form all the time.
I mean, have you seen
right?
That?
And it's
I mean,
in the context
happens,
of our most violent game.
But why does that make it okay? Why does that make it?
Because it's a game. It's a game of violence.
There's no sport.
The Rams can absolutely handle this internally.
They should, and yes, they should handle it internally. They said that they've handled it internally.
You don't think he should be suspended for the opener, do you?
I think the Rams should suspend him. Absolutely,
for the opener. You're out of your freaking mind.
Why? Because it's the Bills. If it doesn't matter,
no, it's the opener. Why would you take one of the greatest stars in the game off the field?
Because he was swinging helmets.
You're both right.
Look at Jorge. He's like, get him out of there.
No, you guys are both right. Greg's right in the sense that either the behavior is acceptable or it's not.
Right.
And I think we can all agree that
it's not.
Swinging helmets is not. And so by definition, if it's not acceptable, you have to do something to curb the behavior, and they're not going to do anything. Mason's
well, we don't know
right,
what's going on internally. I don't know what's going on.
Not doing anything. Mason's right in the sense that, and this is why I'm surprised I've never been able to get you to agree to my no foul out rule in the NBA. Why would the Rams, whose sole purpose is to win football games, why would the Rams voluntarily take one of their best players out of the game? You wouldn't.
No.
Unless you absolutely have to.
Right.
And they have the political cover they need is what happens at practice has always been understood as tempers are hot
right.
at practice.
And the NFL does not police the behavior of players at practice.
And if you
even if it's a joint practice.
And if you cross that line, if like Mike Florio suggesting if the Rams don't suspend Aaron Donald, the NFL should. If the NFL were to do that, now, Mace, every piece of cell phone video that involves an act of violence at a practice.
Right.
Is up for suspension. Is it less of a thing if I run if you screwed me out of a play or rotation practice I'm trying to make the team, I'm mad at you. practice is over, we're running off the field, I run up to you and shove you as hard as I can in the back into the ground and jump on top of you because I'm mad you're maybe costing me a job. Okay, and some fan gets it on a cell phone. Even if you and I make up afterwards and I say, look, man, I lost my head for a minute, sorry. I got to be suspended because precedent. I don't think you can go down. Once you open that, and which is why Greg is arguing that the team should do it.
Because the team is the only one that can.
Yeah, that the NFL doesn't get in. But even if, using Greg's argument, if the Rams were to suspend him, now, anytime one of us goes to a Rams practice and whips out our cell phone and sees two guys fighting, if the fight gets a little ugly, all right, if I pick up a football and throw it as hard as I can into your neck, now I got to be suspended?
Right.
No, fights happen at every practice. I think that's the cover the Rams need to say.
So if they say
they talk to him about it, he knows he made a mistake, it's over.
You think that's the way? You don't think there's any suspension of any kind going on?
I do.
You do think there's not?
I think there's nothing.
I got confused. So you do think there's not?
I think nothing will happen to Aaron Donald for him swinging the helmets.
I agree.
They might announce that they're giving him a fine, and I think if they
there you go, there's a fine. How about that?
I think if they give him a fine, that Stan Kroenke pays it, and it's a nod, nod, wink, wink thing.
What about, can the Rams give a fine? No, the Rams can't give a fine. Sure. Can they?
Yeah, we got fined once for something we didn't even do.
Did we get fined?
Well, we got suspended for 2 days and lost the money.
That's true.
We didn't even do anything.
We didn't do anything.
And I'm just saying, once you go down that road of suspending people for what happens at practice, then you've opened a can of worms that you can't close.
Yeah, I agree. All right, coming up next.
By the way, Greg, a lot of people agree with you. A lot of people.
They're right, too.
Yeah. Coming up next for you, John, I want to... okay, let's do this. Jim Mora. Remember Jim Mora? young Jim Mora.
The UCLA coach.
Yeah. Don't call him Junior.
No, Jim Elmore.
He's not a junior.
Jim Elmore.
He has a different middle name than his father. His father's one of the great guys of all time, by the way.
Has run into some ghosts.
I saw this.
We'll do that. Coming up next, Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. So, Michael Thompson believes in ghosts.
Yep.
I think you believe in ghosts.
Yep.
Jorge, do you believe in ghosts?
I don't know.
Yeah, I'm with you. Bergman?
I sure do.
You have no belief in any paranormal activity.
I have no belief in ghosts. I think it's all in your head.
No. You've never stayed in one of the Lakers' haunted hotels.
Been in plenty haunted places.
Yeah, and so why don't you believe in ghosts?
Because I never saw one. I've not seen it. By the way, if there were ghosts, would there not be, in an era of cell phones, would we not somehow see evidence of a ghost?
No,
I've never seen it ever.
Don't you ever watch The X-Files? When you take a picture, you can't see it.
You know that's a TV show, right?
No,
that's not actually a real event.
And plus, when has Jim Mora ever been one to stretch the truth? Jim's a pretty serious guy.
Oh, my God.
He claims he's the new coach at UConn.
Yes.
Football coach. He claims he is living in a house. He got remarried over the summer. He was married to somebody else when he was a UCLA coach. Got remarried over the summer, and him and his new wife moved into – all his kids are out of the house now – moved into this house in Connecticut.
It's an old, stately building. It's 3 acres on a hill above the campus.
And his wife's name is Kathy, and he says that he and Kathy are living in a house filled with ghosts, but they are good ghosts.
The hell does
that
mean?
They're not necessarily – it's like Casper, the friendly ghost.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. No. No.
Now, I will say this. In the haunted hotels we go to, there's one in Oklahoma City.
Yep.
There's one in Milwaukee.
Sure.
There's one in Berkeley.
Yeah, right.
Okay. I've always tried to welcome the ghosts because I've heard all the stories about how the ghosts are there.
What do you do to welcome a ghost?
I will leave my door unlocked. I will leave. I heard that if you leave your TV on, they'll turn it off for you. So I'll leave the TV on.
Where's the evidence that ghosts turn your TV off?
Okay, I want you to Google.
Yeah.
Okay. Haunted Hotel OKC.
Yeah.
Okay. And you will hear all of the tales of different athletes who have stayed in this hotel and have been visited by ghosts. Now, this isn't me making this up. These are former NBA players making this stuff up. That's a pretty simple Google, okay?
Yeah, there's a ghost named Effie
yep.
in a room on the 10th floor.
Well, you know, the story with Effie, She was a chambermaid, and the owner of the hotel, some guy named Skirvin, Effie, he got her pregnant. And he put her on the 10th floor, told her, it's going to be a scandal.
Room.
Don't leave this room. And she went stir crazy and jumped out the window. And now the ghost of Effie haunts the hotel.
God, you guys are such suckers to believe in this stuff.
I disagree.
Oh, such suckers. I mean, seriously, you don't really believe it. You're just suggestible.
No.
Once you hear a story about a ghost in a building, then you're automatically going to attribute things to the ghost. There is no ghost.
All I did was I typed in haunted hotel OKC.
I got the exact same thing. Ghost stories.
Story after story.
I see one story.
Has come out.
Where's story after story?
No, I've counting at least 10. It's got the story of Effie, you know, that's in here. And they redid this. Okay. NBA players from the New York Knicks claim their game was off after a night of haunts at the hotel in 2010. So have other NBA players staying at the hotel, according to a 2014 New York Times article. Maybe the ghost is attracted to NBA players.
Like a Kardashian.
Yes. There was another experience involved. Meta World Peace. You like Meta World Peace.
I love Meta.
He says a ghost inappropriately touched him at this hotel.
Oh, for the love of God.
So not only do we have haunted hotels, we have sexual harassment on behalf of the ghost. I think that you're not taking this seriously.
I'm not taking it seriously at all. I mean, I couldn't take it less seriously than I'm taking it. See, I think people are just very suggestible. Now, so if you know this story of Effie, then you stay in the hotel and something...
Unfortunately, we don't stay there anymore.
Okay, but and something happens, whatever it is, and you're like, oh, attribute that to the ghost. That was the ghost. People are just very suggestible. That's all.
No, it was a ghost.
You know what we should do? We should get a Ouija board and bring it in here.
All right, here's what Meta World Peace said. Oh, by the way, that came up on the show the other day. Riley, Greg's daughter, wants a Ouija board.
Yeah.
I told Greg, get it for her. It's harmless fun. And boy, the listeners came back with a hard no.
Yeah, my mom is a hard pass on Ouija. We got in trouble for playing with a Ouija
board. Why are we trying to bring a demon in?
Because you're communicating conceivably with evil spirits.
But you don't
believe
in evil spirits. So what difference
does
it make?
There's a difference between an evil spirit and a ghost.
What is the difference?
Shut up.
Why are you making that face?
They're two different things. A spirit and a ghost are two different things. No, I mean, my mom was just like hardcore, do not touch a Ouija board.
Yeah, so should I get Riley a Ouija board?
No.
Okay, but because you're worried about ghosts.
No, because I'm worried about, what am I worried about?
Spirits.
Tempting
things
fate.
That doesn't exist to the your entire argument for the last 10 minutes?
Although we played with a Ouija board, and I swear to God it worked when I was a little kid. Like it would go to the no or go to the yes or spell somebody's name
Lou
out.
Lou Williams?
Yeah.
Lemon Pepper Lou?
Lemon Pepper Lou.
When he played for the Lakers and we stayed at that hotel in Oklahoma City, just grabbed his bag, got his bag off the bus, went down the street and checked into a different hotel.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, and they asked Lou about it, and he said, quote, I'm not going to play with that. I'd rather pay for my peace of mind. If they say it's haunted, that's enough for me. I'm not going to roll the dice. Would Lemon Pepper Lou lie? Of course not. He admitted going to a strip joint to get lemon pepper wings.
Right.
There are ghosts.
Yeah.
The problem is, hey, what is this music?
This is where Lemon Pepper Lou went.
That's disrespectful. He went there for the wings.
Yeah,
Jorge.
He was there for the wings.
It's karaoke.
I'll have the number three, please.
All right, now listen. I need something out of you today. I need you
out of me?
Yeah. I need you to take Bergman down in Game of Games. He's never won 2 months in a row.
Ooh.
And if he wins today, I've won 5 times this year.
Yeah.
And he's won twice.
Not that you're counting.
But if he wins now, it's back-to-back and... he'd be within striking distance.
Oh, man. Bergman is up 6-3 over you.
Yes. And this is worth 2.
If I win this, it's over.
But it's my game.
Oh.
So do you think you could show? Do you notice a name?
This is the last week of the month.
Yes. Do you notice a name that might be missing from the current standings, by the way?
See, Bergman, Ireland, Momo, Jacob, Sonata, Laura, Beto, Jorge, Punch. Where am I?
Where is your pride?
Where am I? First of all.
You have no wins. Get your head out of the weed bag and win a game of games.
I'm going to try.
Please?
Does it favor me?
It does.
Of course it does. Well, you blame me for it.
Wait
yeah.
a minute, Greg. Accuse it actually favors Jorge is at a disadvantage.
Oh.
It favors you and Greg. You'll understand why next.
Okay.
DeMarco's going to play.
Right here.
Who's going to play?
DeMarco's got a shot.
DeMarco's going to play.
DeMarco's
excellent.
Got a shot because it's in his area of expertise.
Ooh, it's a football game.
Nice little
yes,
football.
It is a football-related game.
Okay, Game of Games is coming up next for you, 710 ESPN. All right, thank you very much, Christopher. And Justin from Cincinnati, DeMarco Farr, joins us. Hey, DeMarco, how are you, man?
Well, I'm okay. Everybody keeps telling me to save it for air. I hate that.
Well, we're on the air now, so you don't have to save anything.
You don't have to save anything.
What do you mean? Who's been telling you to save it for air?
Lindsay.
Lindsay, okay.
Yeah, that's her thing.
Yeah, that's
save it
that's
for air.
Thing.
Yeah.
What does that mean? Does that mean shut up?
Yeah, that means shut
that's
up
what
and
I thought.
Keep your thoughts to yourself until the mic goes on.
Okay, so
Island's that way, by the way. He doesn't like us talking about it.
I don't talk to anybody before I go on the air.
Oh, okay.
Except for Bergman.
Yeah, except for Bergman.
Right.
All right, so Game of Games, Greg has a prohibitive lead. He's up 6-3. I'm in second place, and then you have none.
You need me to win.
I need you, DeMarco, or Jorge to win. I don't even need you to win.
Okay.
I need one of the three of you to take Bergman down.
Got it.
And I have some hope for DeMarco, and Mace, a little hope for you.
Okay.
Here's the game. Yeah, you just need the swag system needs
swag,
to
baby,
show up here. But it's multiple choice, so you got a chance.
Yeah.
Right. The college football season is upon us, mm-hmm. as we talked about with Paul McDonald at 1:30. Both USC and UCLA open their respective seasons this Saturday. With that in mind, I have a multiple choice quiz that involves both USC and UCLA football.
Okay.
Here we go. Question number one. The all-time leader in passing yards at USC is A, Carson Palmer, B, Matt Barkley, C, Matt Leinart. Palmer, Barkley, or Leinart, Jorge?
I'll go with C.
You're going Matt Leinart. Greg?
Yeah, it's either Leinart or Palmer. I'll go Palmer.
Okay, Mace.
I'm also going to go do I go?
Your choices are Carson Palmer, Matt Barkley, or Matt Leinart.
Yeah, I'll go Palmer.
All right, DeMarco.
I'll go Palmer. Yeah.
All four of you have missed it. The answer is Matt Barkley.
Really?
He is the all-time leading passer in terms of yards
Barkley
at UCLA.
Oh, because Barkley did have 4 years.
Correct.
Yeah, 4 years.
So did Palmer. But
yeah, Palmer
they just
did too.
Threw
yeah.
more when Barkley was there.
Yep.
All right, so nobody on the board yet. All right. The record for most passing yards in a single game at UCLA is 513. That record is held by A, Cade McNown, B, Josh Rosen, or C, Dorian Thompson-Robinson, DTR. Greg, McNown, Rosen, or DTR?
Oh, I'm going to hate myself when I get this wrong. I think it's Josh Rosen.
Okay. No, it's DeMarco.
I'll take Cade McNown.
Okay, Mace.
I'll take Cade McNown.
Jorge.
I'll take A.
You're taking Cade McNown,
yeah.
and DeMarco, Mace, and Jorge are all correct. The answer is Cade
McNown.
And Greg, here's the thing that hurts. It was in a loss.
Was it the game against Miami?
Miami game. 51-45
yeah.
game.
Yeah. Edgerrin James.
In 98 when Edgerrin James ran wild on him. Okay, so everybody on the board except Bergman.
Mm.
I have hope. All right. Only one of these three USC Heisman Trophy winners is top five all time in rushing yards in school history. So all three of these guys won the Heisman, but only one of them is top five in rushing yards. Is it A, Reggie Bush, B, O.J. Simpson, or C, Marcus Allen? Reggie, O.J., or Marcus DeMarco?
I'll take Marcus.
Okay, Mace.
I'll take Marcus.
Jorge.
O.J.
Greg.
Yeah, I'm going Marcus.
Marcus Allen is the correct answer, and Bergman's on the board. Jorge, now everybody's on the board. Mason and DeMarco with two, Bergman and Jorge with one. All right, the UCLA single-game rushing record is 321 yards. Mm. That record is held by A, Gaston Green,
wow.
B, Maurice Jones-Drew, C, Deshaun Foster. Mace, Gaston Green, MJD, Deshaun Foster, 321 yards in one game. Who was it?
MJD.
Jorge.
MJD.
Craig.
MJD.
DeMarco.
It's Mo.
It is. It's Maurice Jones. Right. I think you might know
Washington.
That. Yeah.
That was a great game.
Okay. Stop. Mace and DeMarco, 3. Bergman and Jorge, 2. The USC school record for touchdown passes in one season is 39, shared by two people. One is Matt Barkley. Who is the other USC quarterback who once threw 39 touchdown passes in one season? Is it A, Cody Kessler, B, Keaton Slovis, or C, Sam Darnold? Cody Kessler, Keaton Slovis, or Sam Darnold, Jorge?
I'll say Sam.
Okay, Greg.
It was Kessler,
Slovis, or Darnold?
Darnold.
DeMarco.
Darnold.
Mace.
Darnold.
The answer is Cody Kessler. We all missed it. Cody Kessler threw 39 in 1 year.
Wow.
Okay. Only one player in UCLA football history has scored over 100 career touchdowns. He has 105. Is it A, Dorian Thompson-Robinson, B, Brett Hundley, or C, Jonathan Franklin? Bergman, DTR, Hundley, or Franklin?
Oh, you threw the Franklin in at the end, and it makes me think about it. So it's passing or rushing?
It's 100 career
touchdowns. DTR.
Okay. DeMarco.
Franklin.
Mace.
Franklin.
Jorge.
I'll go with B. Who was B?
B was Brett Hundley, and you're right, Jorge. You are tied for the lead. Brett Hundley is the only guy in UCLA school history with over 100 career touchdowns.
Okay,
so the score.
You're missing all the UCLA questions, Bergman.
Now listen, this is important. We have one left and then a tiebreaker. Mason, 3. DeMarco, 3. Bergman, 2. And Jorge, 3. So, Greg, you're one down. I'll let you go last.
Thank you.
All right, here we go. The single season record for receptions at USC is 118. Who holds that record? So 118 catches in one season. Is it A, Keyshawn Johnson, B, Robert Woods, or C, Marquise Lee? DeMarco.
I'm going to go Marquise Lee.
Okay. Mace.
Robert Woods.
Jorge.
Key.
Greg.
I'm locked out, right?
Yeah.
I'm totally locked out, so I'm going to say Marquise Lee.
The answer is Marquise Lee, and DeMarco Farr is your winner.
Nice job, DeMarco.
Way to go, D-Farr.
In the fourth quarter.
Needed that.
Wow. The amazing thing about this is that if you look at the scoreboard for game of game, I don't think we've had more different winners than we have this month. It is Bergman 6, Ireland 3.
No. DeMarco. Oh, you just added DeMarco.
Bergman 6, Ireland 3, Momo 2, DeMarco 2, Jacob Imrani 2, Shidano 2, Laura 1, Beto 1, Jorge 1, Funch 1, Pepe 1, Tyler. Who is Tyler?
Tyler is the guy who fills in for Jorge every once in a while.
Oh, he won a game. Oh, my God. Andy won. I have not won a game.
Yeah, you got to show up. All right, so this was a tiebreaker that was going to be fun. The UCLA career sacks leader is Dave Ball.
Wow.
One time when I was the sideline reporter at UCLA, Dave and his twin brother Matt both sacked the quarterback at the same time. The great Chris Roberts described it on the air as a, quote, twin ball sack.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Which we played on a clip all year long. It's back to pass. It's a sack. Dave Ball. Matt Ball. It's a twin ball sack. It was awesome. So, in his career, how many sacks did Dave Ball have, closest without going over, Bergman?
Let's go with 32.
Okay, DeMarco.
27.
Mace.
33.
Jorge.
25.
And the winner again is DeMarco Farr. Wow. He had 30 and a half.
Yeah, that's about right.
It's your day, DeMarco.
Yeah, I said
way
32.
To go, D-Farr. Yeah, you went over.
Oh.
All right, let's hit the Super Stanger.
KSPN AM 710 Los Angeles.
KRDC AM 1110 Pasadena, Los Angeles.
K256CX 99.1 FM Pasadena, Los Angeles.
It's the greatest segment in LA sports radio history.
Oh my God. When the shows come together for magic on the radio.
It Bologna grows stronger. Super Crosstalk.
Are we ready for Sedano and Kaff to join Mason in Ireland?
Super Crosstalk begins!
Super Crosstalk, presented by Coors Light. Coors Light, made to chill.
It's time for Super Crosstalk.
Yeah! And by the way, Game of Games we just finished is powered by Call Jacob. Winning matters. That's why after an accident, you got to go to calljacob.com or call 844-24-JACOB. That's 844-24-JACOB. Today, in place of Shidano and Cappy, we've got Beto and DeMarco.
Do you
guys
remember
what's going on?
Do you remember that, Beto, when the great Chris Roberts once described Matt and Dave Ball arriving simultaneously at the quarterback as a twin ball sack?
That's great.
It was awesome. Crazy. That was my favorite radio clip for about 5 years. He was just talking in a stream of consciousness because they're twins.
Yeah.
Matt are twins. And so they both got there.
That was Chris Myers?
Chris Roberts.
Chris Roberts. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Oh, the UCLA radio guy.
Right. Yeah. So yeah, I was doing sidelines down on the field, and Matt Stevens and Chris, or might have been Matt, Chris and Wayne Cook, I can't remember, were up in the booth, and those guys both sacked him at the same time, and Chris goes, Matt Ball, Dave Ball, it's a twin ball sack!
10 seconds later.
Oh, yeah. And we all went.
You were at UCLA radio sidelines?
Yeah.
What job haven't you had in L.A.?
There is not one that exists in sports broadcasting that I have not possessed.
That's true. That's awesome. You were the Clipper guy for a season, right?
Yeah, three.
Yeah, because when I was a Clipper intern, I remember handing you a credential, and I didn't know what you were doing there.
Yeah,
and
I did it for 3 years. It was fun.
You were
three
a Clippers years. Intern?
Yeah.
What did you do?
Community relations.
No, did nice. You, did, was your to... job to keep people away from Donald Sterling at all times?
Wow.
Which somebody at the Clippers once told me is part of everyone's job. Don't bother the owner.
So I did community relations. So when the players would go, say, like Toys R Us for the Christmas drive or the Thanksgiving, whatever it was, you were there. I remember my first day, it was media day. And I wasn't in the media relations department, but they needed help.
Right.
Because that's when the players come out and they sign all the basketballs.
Sure.
And Mike Oluwakandi looked at all the basketballs he had to sign, said, bleep this, just kept on walking. I'm like,
wow.
Welcome to the Clippers, Beto.
Michael was a nice guy, but had zero interest in being a professional basketball player. He just was 7 feet tall and was the number one overall pick in the draft. And I thought, oh, God, this guy doesn't. He doesn't love the game.
Well, he's the like, one who said, I'm going to the University of Pacific because he thought it was near the Pacific. It's actually in Stockton.
So he had to drive a little ways to get to the
bit,
Pacific.
He was a different guy.
So, DeMarco, since you're the only one who actually played in the NFL.
Yeah, what's up?
Give us your 2 cents on, Greg feels strongly.
What?
That
Wait, does
Aaron,
he have a spotting chart?
Aaron Donald should be disciplined for what he did at practice, should receive some type of a suspension.
Nah, let it go. But, it's practice, man.
Yeah, it's practice.
It's joint practice. Things happen.
You ever been in a practice when a guy took a helmet off and used it as weapon?
I tried to reach in and grab Tony Mandarich by the heart and
Tony
stop
Mandarich?
Him.
Wow.
Yeah, this was
the lineman?
The Mandarich story. This was his rebound. Remember, he flamed out in Green Bay, and he came back in Indianapolis. He was a pretty good guard, kind of resurrected his career. So we had joint practices with them, and we went at it. I got to see you on Wednesday and then again on Thursday. You can't tell me somebody's not going to take a swing. Especially in the D-line.
So it happens, and I said earlier, most football practices I've been to have had some type of fight that need to get broken up.
Yeah.
Training camp, especially.
Teammates,
Bergman needs to lighten up.
Well, Bergman's not just Bergman.
Well, everybody needs
say
to lighten
what,
up then.
I just don't think you should swing helmets.
No,
fair.
Nobody's
you
in
shouldn't.
Favor of that.
But no one got
regularly.
Hurt. Move
it's
on.
Practice, though. That's the team's part.
Like, DeMarco, are you surprised Buffalo's favorite in that Rams game?
No,
the opener?
Not at all.
Why?
Because of Josh Allen, and they're pretty good. Von Miller's over there. That being
Super Bowl champs at home.
And the Mafia's crazy.
Well, I mean, it's...
Will the Mafia be crazy?
Oh, absolutely.
How big a showing will
huge.
Buffalo be?
They're going to
be
up.
Huge.
They're
going to be outnumbered.
Are you there that game? Many people from Buffalo
I don't
out
think
in L.A.?
Be outnumbered, but they'll be
Have
a
you
lot.
Been to Buffalo? They're in L.A.
Yeah, they'll DeMarco, you worked that game a couple of years ago when the Rams came storming back, right? Almost won. And on the final drive, there was a bad call, and then they ended up losing.
I left with a bigger appreciation, a more respect of Josh Allen, because they sent everything they had after him. They had him on the move, and they still couldn't get that big guy on the ground. It was like watching Big Ben. then resurrected.
Well,
same
keep in
thing.
Mind, his last game was that duel with Mahomes.
Oh, my God.
That
back
was unbelievable.
And forth and back and forth. It's such a great game.
What's the spread on that? Burrows, Mahomes, that's
one and
AFCs,
a half. Buffalo
yeah.
by 1.5.
Okay, yeah, because you still don't know what Stafford's elbow's like, right? Some questions about that.
Although he looked pretty good in the last practice. Mason and I were watching him in a practice.
No, I'm saying if you're looking at the
he looked great.
What gamblers are looking at, right?
Right,
like,
right.
Well, okay, Stafford, we don't know his elbow. How much are they going to throw? The Super Bowl hangover, right? Mason,
sure.
You're still hungover.
Yeah, I'm still hungover.
Yeah, so you're going to be
Can
there.
I be I'll, DeMarco, I'll bounce this off you. So after the Super Bowl, I had the greatest letdown I've ever had. Like, you know how you're so pumped and so hyped and so you just won the Super and then you have the parade and the rally and all that, and then bam, I had an emotional crash.
The crash.
Did you have that?
Yeah, everybody goes through it. I told this is when the confetti was still falling down. I told Aaron Donald. I said, it's going to feel like you walked right off the parade float right in the training camp. It's the best, worst feeling you're ever going to have, because it's great. You just won the last football game. There ain't any more. You're the best team in the world. But it's the last time that team is going to be together.
Right.
So you're saying yay and goodbye all at the same time.
Well, and speaking yay, of that, goodbye. Weird kind of almost footnote today, Miami released Sony Michel.
Wow.
Do you think there's a chance the Rams, now that they can get him for probably whatever price they want, would bring him back in as a backup?
Well, you're going to cut one of them? Cam Akers,
I mean,
Daryl? Because I know
how many running backs. How many running backs
like
you keep?
Kyren Williams.
You're
right?
Not cutting Kyren Williams.
Right.
Well,
right.
Don't you keep four though?
Three.
You don't.
So Akers,
Jake
Henderson,
Funk is your
and Kyren
right.
Williams.
Funk is your fourth.
And
that's your
know,
special teams
I know.
Guy.
Sean likes him.
Yeah, and you bring Sony in to run, not be a Funk special teams guy. So this guy you're going to
today's
cut.
Like the worst day for NFL guys that are 50 through 53, right? Because you think you made the team, and then somebody else cuts. Like say a Sony Michel gets cut,
yeah.
And then all of a sudden you're gone. Right? You go from I think I made the team to.
DeMarco, explain the Jimmy G move by the 49ers today to sign him to a non-trade, a no-trade.
Yeah, you've got the answer. Why'd they do it?
No idea. Look, all this says is they don't have confidence in their guy.
Right, it's a hedge, right? That's what
it.
I thought, too.
Yeah. Yeah. I
mean, didn't Jorge say he's not confident in Trey?
Yeah.
Like, I think that if
sources
Trey,
say
if,
that
if,
he's not right.
But
you've seen him, right? You've seen him play.
Yeah. I think he's got a unique set of skills. I just don't know if he's going to be the guy that Jimmy G was great at third and seven, hitting somebody on a slant. I like their receivers. I think between Debo and Ayuk, they can stretch the field.
I heard somebody say that if Jimmy G could throw the deep ball, the Niners would have won a Super Bowl by now.
Hands down, if he has a little better, he had stronger arm. But I'll say that I had a conversation with a guy named Dave Barr who played at Cal.
Okay.
And we were talking about the West Coast offense. He said his first 2 years was just learning verbiage and trying to figure out where the ball is supposed to go in certain situations. Most guys, young guys, are going to read one and then take off and run. I think that's what Trey Lance is. But that's not what they're built for.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the 49ers are hedging because I'm not sure if having him start makes them better.
How does Trey Lance feel about that? I mean, that's the thing.
About as good as Tua.
About having the highest paid backup quarterback in the league.
How would you like to know if you're Tua in Miami that they were trying to get Tom Brady?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, just
okay.
Makes
let me try something. I was watching Get Up this morning and something happened that I've never ever seen happen before. They were picking a division. Who's going to win a division? It was four guys. It was Mike Greenberg, Dan Orlovsky, Mike Tannenbaum, and I'm forgetting there's one other guy.
Greeny, Tannenbaum,
and there's one other guy.
Quarterback, a GM, and
somebody that played in the league, and Dan Graziano was fourth.
Grazi, okay.
All right, they asked them pick a team to win the AFC West. So Broncos, Raiders, Chargers, Chiefs. DeMarco, who wins that division?
I said Denver.
Okay, Beto.
Raiders will not. I'm going Chiefs.
Mace.
Chiefs.
I'm either taking the Chargers or the Raiders, but what was interesting about those four was they each took a different team.
Yeah.
Orlovsky is super high on the Broncos like you are. I like Russ. I like Russell Wilson. I just don't think he has enough around him.
Yeah.
Like, who's going to run the ball? Who's going to catch it? Tim Patrick's hurt.
See, I think he's,
Jerry, are you that? Are you like Jerry Judy?
I think he's pretty special. I do. I think Russell's going to change a lot in that division. So
to win it?
It's going to be hard with Kansas City. I get it, even with the Chargers and the Raiders, but I just – this is a Super Bowl-winning quarterback stepping into that division. So I've seen that guy up close. I'm picking him and Denver.
By the way, Greg, see if you can find that thing I ran on Friday.
I just want to go against the Raider fans anyways.
About that guy, the Notre Dame analyst who says Justin Herbert's the best player quarterback he's ever seen.
There it is.
All right, so
what? Oh.
What's the name of this guy, Mace? What's it say on him?
Ryan Harris?
Yeah, Ryan Harris is a lineman who played in the NFL. DeMarco, he may have played against you. I might be a little younger than you. He played with Peyton Manning. And he played with Big Ben. He thinks it's the Chargers division. He's the Notre Dame analyst. He was on CBS Radio. Mace, play this clip. I like Justin Herbert, but listen to what he says about him.
Make no mistake. Everybody in the AFC, everybody in the AFC West is chasing the Los Angeles Chargers.
Did I get that right? You think Justin Herbert is the best quarterback you've ever seen more than Peyton Manning?
No. I played with Peyton Manning and Ben Roethlisberger, and I'm telling you, Justin Herbert's the best quarterback I've ever seen. It's unbelievable what he does. It is something that's only going to continue to increase, and he's got the most talented arm in the NFL.
All right, DeMarco, he's good. Justin Herbert's good. Best quarterback he's ever seen? That's hyperbole, right?
I would just say probably has potential to be, because what's the one thing Peyton couldn't do? Move.
Right.
He can pick you apart with his brain, great arm. Herbert can do both. So if he advances and gets better, has a chance. Big Ben, same thing. I mean, I don't think there's any quarterback that has, you know, more, how do you say this, more guts than Ben Roethlisberger.
Right.
Yeah, to make plays. Outside of Brett Favre, who crossed the line into Stupidville. Like, why would you go there? But Ben Roethlisberger, same thing.
Have you seen in your neighborhood Herbert jerseys? Elementary. Go around the elementaries.
Yeah. No.
Those blue, baby blue Herbert jerseys are
really
everywhere.
They're awesome.
In elementary schools?
I've seen. Yeah. I've
kids
seen,
are wearing. Not our guys, not right. our age.
I've
adults,
seen a lot
little
of,
kids love cups. Herbert.
In my neighborhood, I see a lot of Aaron Donald jerseys. I've seen a couple of Matt Stafford jerseys. And believe it or not, over the last probably 3 months, I'm starting to see Cooper Kupp jerseys.
You should.
My neighborhood tends to skew Rams.
Yeah. Number one pick in my fantasy football league, Cooper Kupp.
That's a good pick.
Yeah.
Well, Mace, I mentioned you were doing that last week, and people ripping you. Here's the problem.
What do I go away and just people rip me? Well,
yes.
Is that what happens?
Here's
the
problem. You stay here and we rip.
We do a snake draft, and we have 12 teams. Mm-hmm. If he doesn't take Cooper Kupp with the number one pick,
but you take a running back number one.
Yeah, but no.
Which one?
Look, Jonathan Taylor would be the one. It's either Jonathan Taylor or Cooper Kupp. But
I think you should look at Derrick Henry.
How many carries did he have last year?
Derrick Henry's awesome monster.
No, the other one.
Oh, I don't know.
Jonathan Taylor?
Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah.
Derrick Henry, he would be on my, what is Matthew Barry?
Do not draft.
He'd be on my hate list.
All right, well,
Derrick Henry.
No, Christian McCaffrey should be on your hate list.
332 yards.
Christian McCaffrey is on my hate list. I would never draft.
Yeah, you can't do that.
I drafted him number one 2 years in a row.
Because
if he
can
stay
healthy,
yeah, no doubt.
The Mason curse?
Oh, the Mason curse. There is no Mason curse. Oh,
absolutely.
There's no Mason curse.
Draft Cooper Kupp. Draft Cooper Kupp and see what happens to him this year.
No, nothing.
Is there a curse?
Nothing.
Oh, yeah. A Mason curse?
Is a Mason
there's
curse?
No Cooper Kupp already had
it. I was at every Rams game
this
last
year.
We won the Super Bowl. Barely. I was at the Barely. Super Bowl.
No, but I'm saying for fantasy.
Oh, well, for fantasy.
Yeah, Mason says, Beto, that the reason he has finished last 5 out of the last 6 years in the Hollywood Football League is because, and this actually makes some sense, the way I know Mace, is he swears to me that all 6 years he drafted stoned.
Yep.
And this year, he swears he is going to draft sober.
Yes.
Wow. Why?
So he drafted sober in basketball, and he won the whole league.
Basketball, I won. Baseball, I'm in second place right now. Football, Ireland, here I come.
Maybe you need a different dose.
No.
Yes.
Stone cold sober, man.
Nah, you're not a quitter. Don't do that.
No, I'm not quitting.
And you're not fun either.
What do you mean I'm not fun?
We don't need sober.
I'm California sober. I'm good.
We don't need
California sober.
California sober.
It means you're a rolling stop.
You
only
cannabis,
get loaded on weekends?
Cannabis, but not alcohol.
Wow, that's funny.
California sober is not sober. Let me just tell you that.
I listened to the show. I know. Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly.
Where'd you go with that hat? What's up with that hat?
Do you like it?
No.
It's a new Rams hat.
I like DeMarco's hat.
DeMarco's is cool.
DeMarco's got camouflage.
These are the new Rams hats.
No, you got
did you get
that.
Did the team give you that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I got it. You got to kind of get one for your boy on the slide.
Wait a minute. Camouflage.
So you don't like this hat?
No.
I think this
that
hat
is like 1998 Miami ready to party.
Wow. It does look like a Scott Kaplan hat.
Oh, absolutely. It's a Kaplan hat.
Yeah.
Wait, you got to take the headphones off, Mace, so you can see the logo.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, it's even worse with the headphones.
Wait, you know when DeMarco walked in with his hat, and I was like, oh, is that one of the new sideline hats? Did you see the other one? It's so ugly. It looks like somebody spilled paint all over it. And then Amanda goes, oh, that's the hat that Mason's wearing today. I was like, yeah, it's pretty ugly.
Not even the swap meet wants that one.
It is a very cool hat.
No, DeMarco's hat's better than your hat. But
all
I don't
you need are the Air
hat.
Monarchs. Wow. The white Nike Air Monarchs with that hat, you are legit ready to go.
Hey, what do you guys got coming up today? How are you going to dazzle the
people? I have
no
idea. You have two people who don't do radio normally. Oh. You expect
those sometimes those are the best shows.
Yeah. Yeah, man. We'll see.
Yeah.
So we got
to
get
just lean on Lindsay. She'll tell you what to do.
Lindsay's fantastic producer. We got an hour of good, solid talk.
We got an hour, 3 hours.
But we got three hours.
We got more than that.
We're going to talk about mascots.
Yes.
Stoned Mason.
Oh, are you talking about the...
I don't know. I just made that up.
Mascots. I thought you were going to talk about the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah.
Way
to go, kid.
Poe.
Way to go,
kid. The name of the mascot for the Baltimore Ravens tore his ACL. During the game, during the Ravens game over the weekend.
And he stayed in character, Beto.
Finished the half.
Well, now we have a show. Thanks for giving us a show topic.
The other side of the story is he was replaced at halftime because...
They found somebody else who fits the suit.
Somebody else.
Wow.
By the way, shout out to David Vasse.
Yeah.
I saw that.
Did you see after he broke like six ribs in his
arm. Yep.
He stayed in and did sidelines for Spectrum after he, yeah. I mean,
and he did, before
him.
He went to the hospital, he did the pregame interview. Hockey
tough.
Supposed to do for the network.
All I could think for David Vasse, and I love David.
That's
hockey
tough.
That's very Mason-y.
Well, what I hurt. Thought,
yeah,
well,
but it worked. For
it.
He got a shirt, he got a hat, and he got a column in the LA Times,
front page ESPN.com.
I've never more wanted Joe McDonald to be alive more than the day after Vasse did that. Can you imagine? Would have done three hours just hammering.
Yeah.
David used to produce Joe's show. Yeah.
You know what happened? You know what's going to happen next year for the Southern California sports broadcasters?
Yeah,
he's winning.
Oh yeah, he won last year.
Yeah,
not Mason. Sorry.
No, he won last year too.
He's gonna win every award.
I'm totally good. I've got three Bob Miller awards. I'm good. I got three Bob Miller awards and two Mandy's. I'm good.
And a softball victory.
Yes,
that's right. MVP. Oh,
wow. Yeah.
Woo!
All right. Coming up next for you, the afternoon drive show, which I cannot wait to hear. 1 hour of material stretched into 3 hours.
Me too. Let me see how we do this.
DeMarco Farr, Beto Duran. Coming up next. We're back tomorrow at 1-7-10 ES. Oh, wait. Whoa. Hang on 1 second. I want to tell you that Coors Light is...